right. Today we're going to continue our series on identity that we started last Sunday. And we had a great kickoff of that. And we believe that this series is such an important part, Pastor Tom, such an important part of every believer's life is you got to know who you are in Christ. Because if we don't know who we are in Christ, then we don't live it out. And we don't walk in the fullness of His divine purpose for our life. In order for you to walk in the divine purpose, you got to know your identity in Christ. You got to know who you are in Christ. And so last week we kicked it off. I've asked Pastor Tom to join me today. And for many of you, you know Pastor Tom and on the front row, his beautiful family right there, Pastor Debbie and the rest of his children. And they have been leading our life groups over the last several years here at Destiny. And today we're going to be talking about some changes coming to life groups and changing up the format, changing even what we're going to call them. We'll get more into that in just a little bit. But I invited him to join me in this conversation today because we believe here at Destiny, we believe it very much. It's found in Scripture that our identity in Christ comes when we connect to each other. And when we're connecting to each other. Last week I talked about Jeremiah a lot. You remember he told Jeremiah, hey, Jeremiah, I've called you. Before you were even born, I formed you in the womb and I called you to be a prophet. And he said, I've called you to be a prophet. You're going to prophesy to many people. And Jeremiah's like, you got the wrong guy. You know, God, I'm way too young for this. Remember Gideon? We talked about Gideon last week and how he told Gideon, he said, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. You know, and but long before Gideon was ever a warrior, he was hiding in the cave, and God calls him a mighty man of valor. You know, and with Moses, come out, you're going to lead my people. Moses on the backside of the desert, hiding from Pharaoh. He says, now you're going to go face Pharaoh, and you're going to lead all these people, hundreds of thousands of people. You're going to lead out, you're going to be a leader. You know, long before we really embrace our destiny, God's calling us. I believe here at Destiny Church today, He's calling out to many people. Sitting in the seats today, and you're coming, and you're attending, but you're not really living. You're not living to the fullest of God's purpose for your life. And today, I believe that God is calling us to get out and to say, you know what, I'm ready for God to do something greater in my life. And I believe that comes when we begin to get connected to the body of Christ.
Yes, I believe that, I just want to tell you something. Do you know that God wants you to succeed?
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that. They don't realize that God wants me to succeed. I'm not talking about, you know, the success the way the world sees it, because that's a whole different kind of success than what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, just knowing the call of God on your life and this identity that we want to take as our own. And one of the things that I wanted to bring to your attention, to our attention, is this passage in Jeremiah 29:11, that is quoted so often. You know what? You'd said something a minute ago about Jeremiah not wanting to accept the calling that was on his life. You know, in the whole book of Jeremiah, there were a lot of prophets that were not called by God.
Right.
They didn't seem to have any problem acknowledging that and just saying, "Hey, yeah, I'm going to be out. You know, I'm going to go out there and prophesy, and they're going to say things that they thought were from God, and they were just making them up. They were just making that stuff up." And so I just want to read this to you out of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Do you know that God wants you to be victorious even before you're set free? Whenever God was talking to, through Jeremiah, when he was talking to these leaders, to these elders, to these priests, they were in captivity. They were in bondage. And it looked like things were nothing but despair is all they could see. Everything that they knew had been torn down and burned. And God was telling them that I have plans for you, even in this point right now where you find yourself. Even though you find yourself right now in a place of captivity, I have plans for you. And my plan is not to harm you. My plan is not to crush you and snuff you out. But my plan is to prosper you. And that is something that we as people have a hard time accepting, that God has a plan for me, that he wants to prosper me, that he wants to use me, because what we see is our surrounding. We see where we're at. We see ourselves in Babylon. We see ourselves, under the rulership of King Nebuchadnezzar. We see ourselves in bondage, and we can't see the freedom that God has for us. And so oftentimes that calling that we have, that God is just whispering to you and he's talking to you and he's telling you something, and you're like, that can't be true. I can't believe that, because this is what I see. I see myself in bondage. I see myself struggling. I see the things that every day I go through over and over and over again, and I don't believe it. I don't believe what you're telling me. But a word that the Holy Spirit brought to us this morning in the first service, and also Jen shared it a minute ago, that God is accepting you. God accepts you. Yes. He knows that you're in bondage. He knows that you're in captivity. And I'm not saying that all of us are stuck in sin and that's our captivity, that's our bondage. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, even after we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we confess him with our mouth and we are saved, right?
Right.
It's after that that many of us are still in bondage. We're still stuck. We're still entrapped. And we can't seem to figure out how in the world are we going to get out of this. All I can see is my surroundings. And God wants you to identify with him and say, no, I'm calling you to bigger things. I'm calling you to greater things. And I want to set you free. Jeremiah, if you go back to the first part of that chapter, like I said, he's speaking to people that are leaders. He's not just, it's not even just people that are lay people. He was talking to leaders in that place and saying, I have great plans for you. I want to prosper you. And that's what I think God wants to do here with us, is that he wants to prosper us and use us for his kingdom and for his glory.
Right. I believe today, Tom, that, so many people in this room that, we think, well, I'm not captive, but we are. You know where the enemy holds us captive? In our minds. This is where we're held captive, in our mind, because we hear messages like this today and be like, yeah, God, you got this call for people's lives. But in my mind, I limit my calling based on my performance. So if I've made mistakes in my life, then I think, well, I can't be used to God. Or I don't have the giftings that somebody else has got. They've got giftings, so God surely wants to use them. I don't have those kind of talents. I don't have those kind of giftings. And so in our mind, Jeremiah said, God, I can't do it. I'm too young. I'm too young. Remember that? God, I'm too young. And he's saying, quit speaking limitations where there's no limitations. Because the scripture is full that if we belong to Christ, that if we are in him, he is in us, right? I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, if we abide in him, he will abide in us. Is there any limitations for God? No. And so as long as I'm abiding in the Lord, as long as I'm abiding in God, there are no limitations. And so quit letting the enemy hold captive in our minds at us putting limits on ourselves. And what we talked about last week on our personal identity is that we have got to learn to see ourselves through the filter of the cross. Realize today, if you're a Christian today and you believe in what the power of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross, and you've confessed it with your mouth, that we enter into a new relationship, the Bible talks about. So when Jesus looks at you and I, he looks at us the same way that he looks at himself. And when God looks at us, he looks at us the same way he looks at Jesus. That should just blow your mind right now. That he looks at us the same way he looks at Jesus. God looks at us that way. And so therefore, when he says, I see greater things, well, no, in my mind, I can't do that. No. He says, because of my son, because I'm looking at you now through the filter of my son, I see even greater things than you can even imagine. I see even a greater ministry than you ever thought possible. What the enemy meant to destroy your life, I'm going to turn around, put it in your hand, and you're going to use it for good to minister to people who need to hear it. And he wants to take those things and multiply them back in our life, but we got to stop setting the limits and letting the enemy keep us captive in our mind. This is what the enemy does in natural war, Tom. This is what some of the war tactics we're talking about. This is a tactic of war.
Right. Our problem, if you guys will just be honest with yourself for a minute, is that, we see ourselves And we think nobody else sees us the way that we see ourselves, right? We see our failures, we see our limitations, and we begin to think about those, and we begin to identify with those. And we begin to think to ourselves, you know, I'm not worthy. Nobody respects me. I can't be used. I mean, God's not going to use me. The church isn't going to use me. You know, nobody honors me. And before you know it, we just get stuck in this idea that we are unworthy. And I'm telling you that is not what God wants you to identify with. That is something that the enemy is telling you, that you are worthless. That is not God's word to you. You know, whenever Pastor Gene brought that up about about what enemy tactics are about, you know, tactics of war, I was thinking about that over this week. And I thought about, you know, whenever somebody is taken prisoner of war, the first thing that the enemy likes to do with them is to isolate them. You know, you get isolated and you get stuck into a place where you have no communication with anybody that's going to give you any kind of support, so that you have no verbal communication, no visual communication, and you're isolated in a place that's dark and either cold or hot, or just conditions that are adverse, you know, something to try to break you down. And then the other thing that the enemy tries to do is to undernourish you, so that you're not fed, so that you're not nourished strong enough, so that you're not physically strong, so you're not mentally strong, so you're not spiritually strong. And then he begins to lie to you, and you begin to believe that. And as I was thinking about that, all that, I thought about myself, you know, because who knows you besides you? God knows you. I know me, but God knows me even better. And I was just thinking, as I was thinking through all these different things, I thought, God, you know, sometimes I feel like I am an insect caught in a spider web. And you guys may think, well, that's kind of weird. But here's the deal, you know, you think that you're free, but then all of a sudden you're flying along and you're just stuck in this big trap that you didn't even see. And you're stuck right there, and that trap has a grip on you. And so, you know, you start trying to get loose. You try to get loose from that insecurity, and you can't do it by yourself. You try to get loose from all of those things that are tormenting in your mind. You just start struggling, trying to get loose. And the more you struggle, you just get more and more tangled up in that web. And that web entangles you. And then all of a sudden, you can't move. And the other thing that isolation and listening to the enemy, you know, that spider web that the enemy puts out there for you, is what happens is that spider is over here hiding in the dark. Satan is over there hiding in the dark place. And whenever that insect flies into that spider web and starts struggling, that spider web starts vibrating like this. And then all of a sudden, a spider comes down and tangles you up, and you're dead. And many of us, like that insect, we're afraid that we're going to be consumed. That because I am weak, and you know, there's just these mental things that go in your mind, and you can't break that on your own. You can't break that on your own. God is not planning for us to fight this life alone, to fight through the struggles that we have alone. And that he's given us many, many tools that we can use to overcome that. And one of them is the church. The other, you know, obviously he gave us the Holy Spirit whenever we were saved. And he does not want you to be alone. He wants you to know that he loves you and that he has a purpose for you. And he wants you to be set free from those things that entangle you. And he wants you to become free and usable in the kingdom of God.
You know, the isolation, that's such a key. And I mean, the enemy wants to get us isolated. If you don't know this, he wants to get you isolated. He wants to get me isolated. He wants to get you isolated. This is his plan. If he can get you coming to church but isolated, he doesn't care if you come to church. But he wants to get you isolated. And this is what we do when the enemy tries to get information and break down a prisoner of war. They isolate them. They put them in isolation. They malnourish him. You know, one of the tactics they use as well is they do waterboarding. We've heard about that before. Waterboarding, it simulates drowning, even though they're drowning, and they think they are mentally. And that's what the enemy does. He gets you isolated, then he gets you drowning in your own problems. He gets you drowning in things, even though you're not really drowning. He makes you think you're drowning. He makes you think you're going under. And you're right there, and he's picking on you. He's simulating things in your mind. Why? Because he's got you isolated. So you got to fight that as a Christian. We got to fight the urge that the enemy is trying to do to get us to be isolated and say, no, I was never created to be isolated, but I was created to be joined to the body of Christ. And this is where I step into my identity, is when I step out into the body of Christ and say, I'm going to be a part of a body. I'm going to use the giftings God has given me. I'm going to use my words of affirmation. I'm going to use any talent God's given me. I'm going to do anything I can to serve. I'm going to do anything I can to bless. I'm going to do anything I can to connect people. I'm going to do anything I can to help someone. It's about us coming together. Let's quit letting the enemy isolate us. This is his tactic. It's all right. If you come in and just slip in and slip out, you know, I know a lot of people who come to church but are still isolated because they come in and go, they leave and go. And in their mind, well, I'm connected to the church, but they're not really connected. You know, we got to break that, because in order for us to walk in our God-given identity, we got to learn to be connected in a deeper level. We were never meant to walk alone. We were never meant to walk alone. We were never meant to survive on our own. Why don't you talk about Hebrews 10:24?
Yes. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, just like Pastor said, I have been guilty of not wanting to connect because it takes time or it takes energy or it, you know, just is draining sometimes. And I've been in those seasons, honestly. I mean, and I think you guys have as well, where you just want to slip in the back door and get out, kind of just as quick as you can, kind of in and get out. But this says that we are supposed to spur one another on. And what that means is you have to be pretty close to somebody before you can spur them on, right? You have to have some kind of relationship so that you can encourage people. And I believe, like Pastor Gene said, that we are not meant to walk this life alone, not in our marriage life, not in just life. I mean, God wants us to have friends. He wants to have, you know, a spouse. He wants us to have a church family. And all these different things, he wants us to know that he has provided help. He does not want you to be isolated. And then the thing that we have to do, though, is to challenge ourselves and not just hang out with people that are not going to push you, you know, people that are not going to expect more out of you. What I have to do as I begin to accept this identity that God has for me is that I have to join myself with other believers that are going to push me, that are going to expect more out of me, that are not going to let me be a whiner and a thumbsucker. Any of you guys thumbsuckers out there? Well, right now I'm telling you that God is wanting you, get it out of your mouth. Get that thumb out of your mouth and get ready to do something here.
Amen.
Okay? But if all we do is surround ourselves with people that, one, don't have a common goal that we do, and that is, one, we want to surround ourselves with people that have a passion for God. We want to surround ourselves with people that have a passion for His kingdom. And we want to surround ourselves with people that will tell us the truth. You need people that will speak truth into your life and expect more out of you. I have a friend that I've been friends with for a long time, and he expects more out of me. He expects more out of me at work. He expects more out of me in my walk with the Lord. He expects more out of me in my walk with my wife. He expects more out of me. And sometimes he asks me to do things, and I'm like, man, I don't think I want to do that. That seems tough. And a person that has, you know, that doesn't really care about you, they're not going to expect that much out of you. They're just going to let you go along, just kind of, you know, just bumping along. But people that care about you and love you and want more out of you, they're going to be challenging you and they're going to be spurring you. Just like the example you used earlier of a cowboy, you know, on a horse or on a bull. And those spurs are just hitting them in the side where they're trying to get that bull or that horse to move, get it to jump. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes somebody needs to come up and kick me in the can and say, hey, let's move. Let's go do something. Quit sitting there and do something. But if you don't connect yourself with people that love you and care for you and want better for you, they won't say anything. They'll sit there and be silent. And that is not what you need. You have that by yourself. You can be isolated all by yourself. But we need people, just like the word says here, someone that is going to encourage us. And we need that to be a habit. You know, do you guys have a habit of encouraging other people? I mean, do you make it a habit to encourage other people and expect them to do more? You know, I'm not talking about us being all kind of super, you know, spooky spiritual type people. I'm talking about us being real people that just says, I mean, simple things. If you have a relationship with somebody, you know, a friend, you can say, hey, man, what is God teaching you anything lately? I mean, what are you reading? What are you reading? Are you reading with your wife? No. Well, you know, I'm not condemning you, but it might help if you read with your wife sometimes, or, You know, have you been praying this week? No, I haven't been praying. Well, me neither. I mean, no, we need people that are going to hold us accountable, and we're going to spur us on to good works, and we're going to encourage each other. We need that to be our habit as believers, to be encouraging one another, not condemning each other. The enemy does that. The enemy is a false prophet. The enemy wants to tell you lies, things that's going to break you down and tear you up. But the things that God wants to do is tell you the truth. He wants to tell you things that's going to encourage you and increase your faith and increase your worth. And Satan wants to break you down. And he wants to break you down. I feel like right. I need to give you a chance here.
Hey, you're fine. You're preaching, brother. He's doing a good job. He's preaching. Any good stuff here? I just don't want you just to realize that you've heard me say before over the years here at Destiny, and I want to reiterate this point today, is that you will never grow to your fullest potential until you're learning to give of yourself. If you're just coming and attending and leaving, you're not going to grow to your level. Your lid's going to be right here. But when you step out of that comfort zone, connect to other people, and start serving and giving of yourself, spurring people along, encouraging people, then you're going to begin to develop and get to the gifts God's got for you. You know, one of the things that I hear people all the time ask me, how do I know God's will for my life? You know, and I'm waiting for that big answer, God's will for my life. That's a whole other message I'll give you another time. But, you know, one of the things that we do, we simply just got to step out and connect to people. And that's the first step, connecting to somebody and just encouraging them and just connecting, using the things God's already placed in your hand. Moses, what's in your hand? My staff. Throw it down. Pick it back up. Use it. I mean, God's going to use what's in your hand already. Quit waiting for God to drop something in your hand that's not there and say, I'm going to use what I got. And then when I use what I got, God will give me something different later on. Turn your name and say, amen, amen. He's preaching to you. See, when we connect, that's what we do. When I connect to my brother, then I say, hey, man, what's going on? What's happening? I can spur him. He's not going to get mad because I'm connected to him. But if I don't have a relationship with him and I come up and spur him, he's going to turn off and hit me and knock me out. Why? Because we have no relationship. But when we're connected, I spur him and he's going to turn around and spur me when I need it. And I'm going to encourage him. He's going to encourage me. We're going to lift each other up and I'm going to pick him up when I need to be picked up. And he's going to pick me up when I need to be picked up. Why? Because we're connected. We were never created to do it alone. We were never created to do it alone. We were created to be connected to a body, connected to a group of people, of leaders, and using the gifts that God's got in us. And here at Destiny Church, as the staff has been praying and seeking the Lord's will for the next season of our church, we believe it's time to call out the greatness that God has put in you. And that God wants to use you. And God's got a design for you. And you heard me say last week that, you know, we are really good about telling people, discover your gifts as a church. But it goes much deeper than that. We don't just need to help you discover your gifts, but we want you to connect and realize that God wants you to discover what you were born to be, who you were born to be. And that only happens when you say yes to what's in your hand now, yes to the relationships now. Well, when I have the right relationship, no, you develop those relationships now. And then God multiplies them in your life. You use the one talent you have now, and then he multiplies you with more talents later. Quit waiting on, you know, the skies to open up and the voice of heaven to come out with a beam of light and be like, do something, this is what I want you to do, you know? Oh, okay, guys, thank you. No, do it now. Connect to people now. Use your giftings now. But one of the things we have done in the past, you know, Pastor Tom, is we've tried too much to, I think, in the church, we've done this. At Destiny, we've made this mistake in the past, or maybe it was a mistake, just the season we were in, but we're realizing that, you know, we try to use a cookie cutter to develop everybody. And how God developed me is not how he's going to develop Tom. And how God developed Tom is not how he's going to develop Joe. And all of us are different here, and it's not a cookie cutter thing. It's not a cookie cutter. We can't make everybody fit our mode and say, all right, if your giftings don't fall within this time frame and fall within this mode of operation, then there's no room for it here. No, that's not biblical, number one. And number two, it really limits the way people can be involved and connect to people. So tell us more about life groups and the rearranging of that and how now we're going to be changing the name and how it's going to open up and allow more of a purpose of this to begin to happen in people's lives.
I want to read something to you that I wrote down And I want to see if this resonates with you guys. It says, we all want to know God more and have him reveal himself to us to know that we are walking on the path that he has for us. Does that resonate with anybody? And then I wrote, we feel little worth or unrealized worth when we do not submit to the calling that God has on our life. And, you know, I think if we want to find, you know, our true identity in God, we have to submit to that calling that he has on our life. And until we do submit to that and we begin to walk in that calling that he has, we're going to feel all of those things that we talked about earlier. We're going to feel unworthy. We're going to feel unsatisfied. We're going to feel unneeded. We're going to feel like nobody loves us. But when we accept the calling that God has on our life and we start walking in that, then we get that reassurance from God. We get that satisfaction from God that we are walking in the calling that he has for our life. And we, as leaders here at Destiny Church, we want to give the body every opportunity that it can to feel strengthened and to feel connected and to feel used and to feel satisfaction in the kingdom of God. And one of the ways that we've done that is to open up opportunities for leadership. And, you know, leadership in leading life groups. And life groups is something that we've been doing for several years. And we've built a lot of good relationships. But honestly, the format, we're going to continue to offer that format. But honestly, that format just doesn't fit for some people. You know what I mean? It doesn't fit into your week. It doesn't fit into your lifestyle. It doesn't fit in. I mean, maybe you guys don't want to come eat dinner at my house or whatever, because of whatever reason. But whatever that is, we want to put that aside. And so what we want to make sure of is that the main reason, the number one reason for our life groups is the new name that we're going to give it. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to change the name, and we're going to call them Connect Groups instead of Life Groups. And that Connect Group, the purpose of the group, it doesn't matter any time we meet, whether it's here on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter if it's on Wednesday night, it doesn't matter if it's in one of these Connect Groups. The first thing that we want to do is to be able to connect people with God. That is our ultimate goal, is that you would have a connection with the Father, mm-hmm. and that you would know him, and that you would grow in your relationship with him, and that you would love him and just understand how much he loves you. And we also want to be able to connect people so that you have that support system that you need, so that you're not out there by yourself, so that you're not out there being tormented by the enemy, by that liar, the devil, Satan himself. You're not being lied to him, and somebody isn't there right there beside you to say, hey, man, that guy is lying to you. Let's go. Join up and let's move on. So here's what we want to do. We want to change the name. We're going to call them Connect Groups. And the next thing we're going to do is we're going to change the format. So what we want, what we have done in the past, like I said, is we've had life groups where we would meet on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock in somebody's home to have a meal, and then we would discuss the message. We're going to continue to do that because that's a good fit for a lot of people. But we're going to begin to do other things. We're going to have, you know, we've also had groups like the Young at Heart group. We've had GAP. We've had youth ministry. You know, some of these are going to continue, but they're just going to have a little bit different flavor. What we want to have is continue to have these kind of groups where, hey, man, I'm having problems with my marriage. Let's have a marriage class. You know what? When it comes to finances, I stink, man. I can't figure it out. Me neither. Let's do that. Let's get together and find out what God says about money. Let's have a life group about that. Let's have a connect group about that. You know what? My kids are wearing me out, man. I'm about to beat them to death. Hey, me too. I got my wife's shoe the other day and chased two of them around the house. Couldn't catch them, so I threw it at them. Well, let's have a parenting class. Maybe that's not the right way we should be doing it. You know, so what I'm saying is there are real needs in life, and we need to have other people, because you know what? You think you're the only one going through that, but that's not true. We heard this morning from somebody that said, hey, man, I'm almost an empty nester. What am I going to do? My kids are going to be gone. We're not going to go to their football. He didn't say this. I'm ad-libbing now, okay, because that's what we do. We ad-lib. Makes it funner. But anyway, you know, we're not going to go to their football games. We're not going to go to this practice. We're not going to go to that. They're going to be gone. What am I going to do? Well, maybe we need to form a group of people that can support each other and say, hey, man, I'm an empty nester too. It's great. You don't know what you got coming, but it is good stuff. So, you know what I mean? We need to join with brothers and sisters that are in similar places in life, and that we can link arms with each other and encourage each other. And so that's what we want to do. And the part of that is you taking not only identifying with those areas that you need to grow in your life, but some of you, God has been calling you to lead something like that. I know because I've had several people already tell me, even this morning, you're not going to believe God is calling us to do that. I do believe it. God has given you giftings for a reason. He's given you burdens on your heart for a purpose. It's not so that you can sit there and be unrealized or unsatisfied in your existence. It's God has given you those callings. He's given you those burdens for a reason. Because you need to link up with somebody and share those burdens together. And I really feel like God is going to do something new in Destiny Church here in this region through this change that we're going to have in our Connect groups.
Right. And so what we're wanting to do is what God has put in your heart, that we want to give you a platform and a place to use that and expand it. And so instead of saying, all right, if he doesn't fit between 6 and 8 on the first and third Sunday night of the month, then there's not a lot of room. But if you come and say, well, my schedule doesn't allow me to do that on Sunday nights, or it doesn't really fit, but I would like to do an exercise class on Tuesday mornings and get some ladies together and do some Zumba. Come on now, and get some Zumba. And then we're gonna have a time of prayer as well and encourage each other and just talk about life and encourage each other. That can be open, whether that's once a week or it's once a month. Maybe I want to get some guys together and go play golf and start a golf league during the springtime. And, sorry, Sally, even ladies can do that too. Okay, she's looking at me like, I'm a golfer too. But, you know, you get together and get some people who want to play some golf. And when we get done, we're gonna sit around and have a little time of just sharing with each other and praying one for another and just encouraging each other. You know, whatever that looks like, you know, we want to do that. Some of you have an outreach ideas. I want to do things. I would love to do a ministry to widows or single moms. I'd like to do something where we could go help them and maybe do some home repairs for those who can't afford it. Some of our widows who are on fixed income. Or we could offer free oil changes for them. Some of the mechanics together and say, hey, once a quarter, we're going to get together and we're going to just offer on a Saturday morning for a couple hours to help maybe change oil for some of the widows or some of the people who maybe are single moms who could use a little help. So guys get together and say, yeah, I want to be a part of that, you know. And so it may only happen once a quarter, you know, but whatever it is, we get people who have something in their heart and we want to give you a chance to use that. You know, we'll ask if you're going to be leading something or teaching something. Obviously, we want to get it pre-approved just to make sure we're screening and filtering things, make sure they're proper and you have proper accountability there. But man, once you get the green light, we'll promote it. We'll have a whole message board in the back of different opportunities during the month, during the week that you can be involved in. And every so often, we'll be spotlighting ones every week, or maybe on our social media page, hitting two or three a week, talking about this event or this group going on. And so many of you, I know God's putting things in you. Maybe you got a book that you read that really changed your life, and maybe you don't want to lead a class forever, but you would like to lead a 6-week or 8-week class just talking about this book and going over with some other ladies or some other guys or some other couples or anybody that you say, I want to just go through this and talk about this and discuss it. You know, and maybe it only lasts for 6 to 8 weeks. That's okay. We have room for this now. It's a fits within there. We've had people who wanted to do things like such crafts. You know, I would like to get some ladies to do some crafts together and have time of devotion as well. This fits that. We have guys say, I want to get together and do a basketball league with guys and do something. This fits within that. We have people who want to do some other spiritual topics and discussion. I would like to take something deeper and go through this spiritual deep walk within this book, you know. Hey, this is the platform for that. And the bottom line is, I say, hey, Jeremiah, quit saying you're too young. Quit saying you don't have the time or it doesn't fit or you can't do that. You know, if you have an interest in something, take the God-given interest he's given you and let it become a tool for God to use it to connect and encourage other believers as well. And maybe it becomes more even an outreach, you know, instead of we're just focusing on our friends in the church, we're also inviting some of our friends we're trying to get into the church. And maybe if we get them to come and play basketball with some of the guys on a Tuesday night, then maybe they'll come and join us on Sunday morning. Just maybe. You know what I'm saying? And so God can use these things in so many different ways. And we are very, very excited. So if somebody wants to find out more information about how they can maybe, I know we're going to do a short term here for the rest of the year. Starting in October, we're going to kick off some classes. We've got some we've already approved just as a kind of a starter. We'll be talking more next week about those classes, listing those classes and some different interest groups that are meeting throughout the week. But if you have one that you would like to say, I got an idea, and maybe a couple of you will have the same idea, and we can pair you together, you know, to start off. And then if it grows, we can break it off, and you can have two or three different kinds of groups meeting. But maybe some of you got the same heart. So when we come together for the interest meeting and finding out more, how's that going to work?
Yep. Next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to meet here at the church, and we're going to discuss how this is going to pan out. But just like Pastor Gene said, we're not expecting people to say, oh yeah, I'm going to do this for the next 6 years. You can count on me. Well, I don't believe that. But here's what I believe. You know, God I really believe that, you know, something that I want to make sure and tell you is that God loves you and that he has called you for a purpose. And, you know, Pastor Gene's a snappy dresser, right? I'm kind of a plain Jane kind of dresser. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes, it is.
Come on. There's one of you that is... I'm not a snappy dresser, but you know why? It's because God has called me to be me. He does not want you to dress up like some other Christian.
Right.
He doesn't want you to try to put on the face or put on the look of somebody else. He doesn't want you to dress up like me. He doesn't want you to dress up like PG. He wants you to dress up like you. And he wants to use the giftings that he's put inside of you to expand his kingdom so that he would be glorified, so that he could be lifted up. And so I want to encourage you this one last thing, that you need to link arms with somebody, because it's inevitable in life that each one of us are going to kind of trip. We're going to be walking along and we're going to have this, you know, we're going to have a little trip like that. Every one of us are going to trip at some point in time in life. And the thing that Satan wants to do is he wants to see you fall. And if he sees you trip, he's going to come and give you a little shove so that you hit the dirt. And what you need is you need brothers and sisters in Christ that are standing right there beside you whenever you trip, because you're going to. And they can lift you up and they can restore you to the kingdom of God. Because those that are spiritual, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
We're supposed to be restoring those that stumble. And so I just want to encourage you guys that you are called. God is calling you right now where you're at. You don't have to become something else first. You don't have to wait to finish that online college student class you're trying to become to get your official certificate. Right now, God is calling you right where you're at.
Yes, I'm excited about that. We got some great classes already, people volunteering, lining up. I've started this process. We're going to have more. We want you to come next Sunday night at 6. If you want to just say, I want to find out more, just give some input. And some of you may be something you connect what's already happening now. Some of these we may say, all right, let's start planning. January 1, we're going to kick these off again, you know, in January. So we're going to have this time of this short semester for the rest of the school year, and then we'll come back and kick a bigger semester off next year. But I'm so excited. We're going to have a Spanish-speaking small group. Gobble's getting that together. Yes, it's going to be doing outreaching to Spanish-speaking people who don't come here. How many believe that God can bring in a bunch of Spanish-speaking people who can receive what God has for their life? Amen? I mean, these are the things that are birthed in people's hearts, and we want to say, yes, we want to empower that. We want to use that. And so, man, I'm excited about what God's going to do. I invite you to stand. Some musicians are coming today. I'm going to ask Pastor Tom to come and just pray over us. I believe today that God is calling us to our true identity. And our identity is so much more than what we are. So much greater than we are. Pastor Tom, I want you to come. Just begin to pray over us that God will remove fear, remove excuses we've made in our past, remove the captivity held in our mind, and we can begin to step out in courage and connect to the people of God and use the giftings.
Yes, Father, we just love you. And we thank you, God, right now that you're calling us to be sons and daughters. Lord, you see us whenever we were captivated in our mind. We were in prison. And Lord, you came and you set us free for purpose. And I pray, God, that you would right now in the name of Jesus break those fears that are in my brothers and sisters, that they would say, man, I can't do that. I'm afraid. I'm worried. But it's not true. You are able. God has called you. God has called you to do great things, not for yourself, not by your power, but by the power that is within you, the power of the Holy Spirit. God is enabling you for his kingdom, for his purposes. And so, Father, we just trust you. We trust that you are capable, that there is nothing that is too impossible for our God. And so right now, just as a living sacrifice, we just lift our hands up to you. We just lift our lives up to you and pray, Lord, that you would use us for your kingdom, use us for your purposes. I pray, God, that this area, this region, would come to know Jesus more fully because of the brothers and sisters that are here that are willing to give up their lives and use the giftings that you've planted inside of them, Father. Father, we just love you and exalt you. We want you to be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you help us sing this morning? It just says, we want to see you. Because we want to see you. Show us your glory. We want to know you. We want to see you.
We want to see you.
And we know that one way that we see you, God, is by coming connected with one another.
Lift our hands to the Lord one more time today. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you, Lord, for a people that you're calling. God, I believe in this room that we are so much more than what we think. We are so much more than what our mind has limited us to. And God, today I thank you that, God, we are seeing people that are being set free. The captives are being set free. And God, you're going to birth new ministry, new season of connecting, new ministries of using interests and giftings. God, I believe that Destiny Church is going to explode with people with fresh vision, with fresh ministry, serving, giving from the rich to the poor, Lord, to those that are homeless, to those that are needed, to those that are just average Joes. And God, we're reaching out to people who need Jesus. We're connecting and we're using our gifts to spur each other on. God, I believe today that, God, you're going to raise people with a heart and a vision to use what you place in their hand. God, we call that out today. May we walk in our God-given identity. We say yes, we say yes, and we say yes. If you believe that, put your hands together. You got to praise. Can we do that? Thank you, Father. We love you guys very, very much. Turn to give someone a big high five, a hug, and say, man, God is good. It was good to be with you today. God bless you. Thank you.